Hey guys, thank you so much for tapping in. I hope you enjoyed the last episode. This episode is gonna be crazy. It's gonna be a pretty good one. I've got one of my really good friends in here, Luca. Luca is the guy behind all those free chains. If you've gone on Instagram at some point in your entire life and you've seen like Supreme Patty or any of the Hype House kids advertising their free chains with shipping, this is the mastermind behind it. He's also really, really good with his stocks and creating online businesses. But most importantly, he's a really good friend and a really, really good human. And I really wanted to get him on just to talk about ways that you may at home may be able to find a way to capitalize on the internet culture, on ways to make money online, but most importantly, do what's best with your money instead of letting it sit around on stuff like that. Luca's I've actually seen Luca make $500,000 in a day, which is wild. Which is not like I'm not trying to flex or push it in anyone's face. It's just like the possibility of that happening is so real. What up, Luca? How you going, brother?
I'm doing fine, thanks. Thanks for having me.
No, I'm excited. So being Luca's actually one of the first people that I met when I came to LA, and I asked Alex when I first saw you. I was like, yo, what's up with Luca? Like, he's really awkward and shy. I didn't know what was going on, and he's like, nah, bro, this guy's a goat. He's like, just you wait.
Right. Nah, I actually, you know, it's weird how that happened because, you know, Alex was, you know, with you. He was talking about you for a while, but then, like, for some reason, you know, this was before your Netflix show blew up.
Yeah.
Show blew up. And when that happened, I think we like connected like 2 days after and you were getting like 1 million followers a day. We're at Popeyes and I was just like, I don't know. I was zoned out. Usually when I, you know, don't know people, I'm kind of like weird. But then, you know, once I get to know you, it's like a brother, you know? And so it's been a great relationship and I thank him for that.
No, it's been fucking nuts. So how did you, like, are you from LA originally?
Yeah. So growing up, we had like a difficult situation growing up. So it was really like whoever's house we could stay at.
Yeah.
And so that was, you know, a con, but it was also a pro in the fact that I was able to live all over the world. So like wherever there was like a guest bedroom available for us, we would go there. And so like every couple months we would just move house to house. And you know, I was fortunate enough to live, you know, in South Africa and London and France.
What? You lived in South Africa?
Yeah, I did. Cape Town.
Really?
Yeah, so like all over the world. And then, you know, eventually we kind of settled down in Los Angeles and I've been here the longest in one place. So if anybody asks me where I'm from, I say Los Angeles, but I you know, I've been around, you know, versus I've just been here the longest.
When was your moment where you realized that there was like so much money to be made with online business and like with influencers and stuff like that?
Right. So the initial play was I was in high school and, you know, for me is my mom like was consistently struggling with money. She was Airbnb-ing the house out and it was like a small 2-bedroom house. So I had one bedroom. My mom was in the living room and we were Airbnb-ing the other room.
Yeah.
And I just got so frustrated. Like I couldn't stand not making money. So my first approach after, you know, I dropped out of high school and started throwing like these underground rap shows and these parties.
You did?
Yeah. So it was... So like I would go, I'd go to the hood or like downtown or Hollywood and I would basically like get some sort of warehouse or some empty space for like, you know, $1,000, $1,500. And, you know, I had a good network of like really popular friends, you know, at least I thought in like LA.
Yeah.
And I would get the spot and I'd rent it out and, you know, I'd make money on the margin. So if the spot cost me $1,500 and, you know, 300 people gave me $10 each, you know, I'd make $1,500. So that was like my first initial hustle, but what was happening is every time we threw one of those parties, I got arrested. But because I signed the contract and I wasn't 18, it wasn't binding. And it was weird because I signed like 5 contracts with 5 different people and not once did they ask for my ID. I think it's because I was a giant, you know, you are too. So like they just assumed I was 18 already. So every time I got arrested, I circumvented that and getting in trouble because anything that I signed wasn't binding.
Mm.
And what happened was, is when I finally turned 18, I got caught. They like booked me for like $20,000 underage drinking, all these fines, whatever. And I was like, I can't do these parties anymore.
They fucked you.
Right. And so from there, I was like, okay, I need to find another way to make money. I started working a job and then, you know, did a couple years of that. And then eventually I was like, I came across an Instagram ad. Yo, my little brother made, you know, he's 15 years old and made $5,000 this day today. And I was
they're my favorite ads.
They're my favorite, you know, but like, I was like, I couldn't believe it. I was like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I was like, I gotta see what this kid's about, you know?
Yeah.
And so I copped the program, whatever it is. It didn't teach me anything, but it definitely showed me like what X and Y would do, right? Like what Shopify was capable of doing. So I wasn't like aware of the Shopify situation. So though like everything in that program sucked and like didn't teach me diddly squat, what happened was is like I was able to just basically understand the model and then from there just take it with. So
are you saying those dropshipping classes online are a ripoff?
Yeah, no.
Hey, don't talk shit. He actually has one right now.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. He's gone full circle.
Sorry.
I do, but I made mine with the intention where it was like, yo, like I know these suck. Yeah. So like I was also in a space where, you know, for people who don't know, dropshipping is basically taking a product on, you know, a wholesale website and listing it on your personal website. Let's say this ring, you know what I mean, for $1,000. I sell it on my website for $5, and then when you buy it off of my website, I just go on Amazon, purchase it on Amazon, and ship it to your warehouse. So I make money on the margin without ever touching the product. And you know, you're right, because this space is like a really terrible space. And I kind of am in the position where it's like, okay, I don't really want to be working on, you know, drop shipping. I want to be working with brands. And so in that same breath, I was like, yo, I'm going to make a program just to teach you guys like what changed my life. And so you guys take it from here. And it's not something like, I don't run ads for it or do anything crazy like that. It's purely like, yo, if you know me, you know what I am and you're interested in learning what I'm doing. It's just there, you know?
And that's one of the things about Luca is like, ever since I've known him, is he's always one of the people that just wants to help. So like when he dropped this course and stuff like that, I was like, I know that there's like actual information in there. And like a few of my friends did buy it. It's definitely very, very beneficial. So you got to that point. You started with that dropshipping course. It was absolutely caca. We hated it. Sucks. But it's ignited that little fire. And then how did you link up with Supreme Patty? What point did that happen? Because I didn't really explain it, but I'm not sure if you, were you on WorldStar like ages ago, like probably a couple years ago, where they're like, oh, free chains, like blah blah blah, swipe up, like
if not really, no.
Well, essentially he started this like insane business model with these influencers where it was drop shipping.
Yeah
So they get like you know, cheap chains, and they'd be like, oh, check out the website, they're free. So people go and they go, you get all their customer data and information all to the point to the checkout. It's like, oh, shipping's like $20.
Oh,
so they made they made millions off that.
That's brilliant.
So that was interesting. So what happened was, is I was just doing my store and I realized like I was paying, you know, influencers, small influencers, like amounts of money to like, you know, promote my products.
Yeah.
And eventually I had these little clout goggles at the time. So like these little like googly eye glasses.
Oh, you know, no way.
So I saw Patty wearing them in all his videos and I was like, so I kept on sending him messages. I was like, yo, promote this. Eventually I got in contact with him after like 30 something emails. So a lot of people think that was like a luck situation, but that totally wasn't. Like this kid would not respond to me, but it was just email every day. Actually the final email, I remember crying in my shower because I took like a huge L, like my roommate or something like my car broke down, something crazy happened. And I was just like so frustrated. Then I sent him like a dissertation, the final email, and he finally responded. And so I paid him $500 for a story swipe up, and it made me $25,000 back.
It made you $25,000?
Yeah. Whoa. Back. And so I was like, holy shit, this completely changed the landscape. And
no
so
way.
I did that for a couple times, but I also noticed that Patty was growing like 20K followers a day. So, you know, I also really liked them. You know, Patty and I were the same age, and you know, where I get along with a lot of these guys is like, I'm the same age as you and we do the same shit.
Yeah.
And so like I knew he was sleeping on the floor and like all this shit. And so I was like, okay, like I thought in my head, like he's growing so fast. Eventually his prices are going to go up. Something's going to change. Like, what if I just bring him in here and we just grow together, you know, like I'll give him a percentage. And so I was like, look, bro, in the last, you know, 3 weeks, I've paid you $2,000. You made me $100,000 back. Like, do you want to partner on this, you know, 50-50?
Wow.
And you know, from there, that was like, you know,
that's awesome for you to do that though.
Yeah. You know, but you know, a lot of people underestimate, like when you're in a position where you're, you know, the relationship is sometimes more important than the money. And like in hindsight, I've made so much money off of that relationship because of the network effect that Patty, you know, once we made Patty millions, it was like, yo, Luca made me millions and now everybody else wants to make money with me. So that network effect was like, it was priceless. But people underestimate just having that, like, that relationship can be so much more important sometimes than the finances. And that's really what I thought. And so as he grew and, you know, at one point he was really like the top kid of Instagram for, I would say like 6 months.
Yeah.
It was really just like, you know, a bet well placed. And so that kind of took off from there. And then eventually I was like, okay, I did this with Patty. I can do this with 50 other people. And then, you know, once I did that, I was like, okay, let me learn Facebook ads, Google ads. And then, you know,
kind of. Oh shit. That's how it all started.
Yep.
Holy shit. Do you think that like with influencers and stuff right now that it is that we're less valuable? Because right back then, I feel like there was just a lot less influencers. So like their voice was a lot easier to be heard.
I think it's definitely more competitive now. Mm. I would say like less valuable. I mean, it would totally depend on like what angle you're in, like what niche you're in.
Yeah.
I think right now there's a huge opportunity for influencers, and I really commend you for this because you've really taken this approach.
Mm.
But it's like realizing that, you know, no matter who you are, whether an artist or an influencer, like there's a clock in terms of like yeah. when you're going to be doing this. Like everybody, whether you're an athlete, LeBron James, like there's a clock and the clock ticks. Mm. And it's like, what are you going to build from now until then
yeah.
that's going to sustain you for the rest of your life? A lot of people get lost in the sauce and are like, oh, I'm rich, I'm making so yeah. much money, the money's coming in, I'm a baller, whatever, and are not focused on building. And yeah. you know, one thing you and I have had this conversation probably since the first day we met,
mm.
and you've been really focused on just like building, and you know, mm. I really respected you for that because you're just like, okay, relationships and building businesses. And yeah. I've noticed like from observing you and what you're able to do, it's just like, yo, like I'm people, at least in your position, need to be focused on building brands or building yeah. companies or being a part of things. You don't necessarily need to build something, but if I come to you with a brand and I'm like, look, Harry, take 5%, like mm. understand what 5% is. You know what I mean? You don't have to do much. You yeah. know what I mean? And so like there's a lot of opportunity. And, you know, one thing that I saw that I actually saw the Sway Kids do with that venture capital firm they launched, I thought yeah. that was pretty cool because I think more people should be doing stuff like that.
Can you explain that?
Yeah, so basically Sway just did the, I think it's like the Animal Venture Club or something yeah. like that. And it's basically just where they partnered with a lot of, you know, other successful businessmen, and they are basically taking a $15 million fund and taking that money and investing in other businesses and also leveraging, you know, who they are and their promotional yeah. value and getting good discounts on, you know, I'm assuming good discounts on good businesses that, you know, eventually could be worth hundreds of millions of dollars.
Well, I saw they just did some shit with Silly Bands, and I saw them posting that, and I'm like, oh shit, like that's a wrap.
Yeah, you know, I don't know any of them. You know, out of all the crews, that's like the one crew I don't really know too much about.
Yeah.
But whoever's like their business guy, like I need to pat him on the back because, but they're listening to him. A lot of people have business guys and won't listen yeah. to them, you know, but like they're actually listening to whoever's running that show back there yeah. and he knows
what's going
doing.
On, you little sesame seed buns. We're back, bitches. And you guys went crazy with Parade last time. So again, they were horny for us to plug them again. So they've got a new, exciting, little comfy, little naughty situation that's coming out, and it is called the Creative Basics, which is the bralettes. There's no imprints, there's no digging, just unbelievable comfort, weightless soft fabric for your tatas, and their very own airband technology, which they engineered for real support. So your titties are going to feel great. They're going to be aerodynamic, they're going to have enough breathing room, they're going to look sexy, and your nipples are going to be plump, juicy, and hard. Plus, they come in two distinctive styles. The scoop, the triangle with over a dozen different colors to choose from. The mix and match possibilities are endless. If you want to score yourself some bralettes, go to yourparade.com/tapin. Now, that's 25% off the $40 plus pairs. Use the code TAPIN. Get those titties looking right. Get those nipples nice and plump. Get supported. Feel good. We love Parade over here. And also, they got some really nice hoodies. Like this looks really good. It's very comfy as well. Again, for a limited time, our listeners can get 25% off any purchase over $40 with code TAPIN. Or go to www.yourparade.com/tapin and refresh your top drawer with colorful, comfortable, creative basics. I believe his name is Michael Gruen.
Yeah.
He's a big deal. I think he's very young as well, but he's very like smart. Like I remember when I first went to their old house and they're like explaining kind of what's going on and who he is. I was like, holy shit, like you guys have it figured out. And it was really inspiring to see because not a lot of influencer houses or not a lot of influencers have a team behind them.
Yeah.
Like I'm rare. Like I've got yeah. a team of probably like 10 behind me. Whereas they have like a whole army of people and they have like the Triller deal, all that stuff. Like they're very switched on and very smart with their approach, but like a lot of these other influencers like don't like, they're like, oh no, I don't want to give a percentage, I don't want to give a cut, I don't want to do this. I'm like, how are you, like you think, you know, Justin Bieber or Nicki Minaj is just doing it by herself? Like come
yeah,
on,
those people got an army.
Yeah, Yeah.
And it's better to have, you know, 50% of, you know, $30 million and, you know, moving more effectively and more fast than, like, you know, having 100% of a couple million dollars and moving like a slowpoke and being drained. At the end of the day, like, an influencer needs to be focused on creating influence and, you know, impacting the audience and making people like them. You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't recommend you spending your day on the computer 12 hours a day trying to build a business. That's not your role. You know what I mean? You should be like doing what you're doing and doing what you love and doing what's gotten you here. But like, cutting a little bit of the pieces of the pie up until that point is just very advantageous, as long as you believe in your team, right? Like, some people will pick bad team members, which is like, sucks.
Yeah.
But like, as long as you like believe in your team, like, it's so much more worth it.
That was also the craziest thing with the other cast of my show, is I told them as soon as we finished filming, like, yo, start a business.
I remember you did this.
Yeah. Too. I was like, start a business, do something. You need to have something set. So by the time, like, all the fish are trying to jump in a net, you have a net.
Right.
Like, all these people are just like, nah, it's going to be fine. Like, everyone feels like they're going to be set forever. Like, no one's made it. Like, we haven't, no one's, like, got 10 mil in their account, like, have, like, 20 properties. Like, no one's made it. No one's, like, positively impacting the world.
Of course.
That's why I was always saying to them. I was like, yo, like, this shit is going to come and go so quick. We have, I think the lifespan for reality TV stars is a year, right? We're very blessed because it's Netflix. The next season's about to come, so we're going to get a nice little nudge again. But with other reality TV stars, it's like a month of just chaos and pure just carnage. And then after that month, it just dwindles off and like slowly falls down. Like, a lot of my other cast members are like, why are we like losing followers? I'm like, because no one knows us. Like, no one knows us whatsoever. I was very blessed that like I got to diversify and now I'm a TikToker.
Right.
Like, I just doubled down on TikTok. I was like, this shit's fucking growing like crazy. I can't really do YouTube too well, but TikTok's really smashing, and now we could be podcaster.
Right.
But anyway, so more importantly for the listeners at home, like the people who are like, obviously COVID's fucked a lot of people.
Yeah.
But it's also opened a lot of doors, right? Yeah. There's more than ever like opportunities to work at home and more opportunities to make money at home. For you personally, looking back or being in the position that you're at now, like, what's a handful of things that you think people would need to hear like in this time, or what is an opportunity that you feel like people need to jump on before it's too late?
Yeah, so that's a two-parted question. The first answer to that, I'm going to answer it like the business side, and then I'll answer, you know, what I think like on the spiritual, emotional, human side. And so the business side of things, I think people underestimate how easy it is to make a couple grand a month.
Mm.
And, you know, this is somebody who worked 2 years, you know, making $15 an hour. Like, I understand, but like, once that check comes and you're like, okay, I'm only making $2,000 a month, to supplement $2,000 a month is fairly easy, and I can give you like a couple just out of the box ideas into like how I could do this. But, you know, I could go and print at Kinko's, you know, 100 pieces of, you know, 100 flyers basically saying Luca's maid business or Luca's gardening business, right?
Mm.
And I can go post them all over the place, you know, designated areas, right? Like, if I have a maid business, maybe apartment buildings, you know, something like that, maybe where you live, you know, get some good maids in there. but, you know, and let's say I charge $20 an hour for a maid. Well, I know a maid who charges $10 an hour. So the second I get a call and I make a booking, I've already doubled my money, right? So it's going to cost me, you know, let's say $100, you know, to get the maids in there for 5 hours or 10 hours or whatever it may be. And, you know, let's say they give me $200. Well, I just made $100, right?
Yeah.
Because they're charging me 10 and I'm charging them 20, right? Yeah. Just a very easy way to just plug and play. You can do the same thing with like a gardening business, for example. Yeah. Just go pass flyers around and start doing clever things like that. Obviously, the drop shipping space, there's so much opportunity with, you know, I can go in Walmart right now and pull things up on Amazon and just go down the aisles and see things that are cheaper, like substantially cheaper in the Walmart aisles than they are on Amazon. And I can literally just pick them, like buy them and then list them on Amazon and make a profit.
That?
Yeah, it's called retail arbitrage.
Really?
So it's really simple.
That sounds expensive.
And no, it's not. It's like,
really?
I can take $50, right? And let's say this big gallon of water right here, right? Let's say it's $10 at Walmart and it's selling for $20 on Amazon. Well, I'll buy all the lot that they have in Walmart for $10. And then I will then relist it on Amazon. And
it will sell on Amazon?
Yeah, it'll sell like that.
Really?
As long as you beat the price of the top Amazon listing. So something called a buy box. So as long as you beat the buy box and come in cheaper than the next person, then it'll automatically sell.
Are you scared of Amazon? Like Amazon FBA? I know that
for my business, it's two different things. You know what I mean? Like it's both selling online, but you know, in terms of like competitive, not really, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's only a tool to help us. And so that's a way. And then drop shipping. And then, you know, people underestimate honing in on a skill. Like, some people are really good on Photoshop. Well, you don't understand that I pay my Photoshop guy like 10 grand a month, just my Photoshop guy. Like, you know, my website builders are getting paid, you know, tens of thousands of dollars a month on some months, you know?
Yeah.
And so maybe also honing in on a skill, people underestimate like becoming a really great photographer, finding things that you're passionate about, and then you can build value on that. And so, you know, whether it's just being creative and just, you know, the buying and selling of things is really underestimated. Like being able to, like, you know, I used to buy Supreme, right? Like sit in the Supreme line and then resell it, like when I was 15.
Really?
Like that was like the first hustle, you know, sneakers. Like there's the buying and selling of things is not to be underestimated. And there's a lot of places where you can make a lot of money just buying and selling things. And when you take the time where it's like, yo, I'm working 8 hours a day to make $2,000 a month, and you apply the same thing to, let's say, like a hustle, like buying and selling, you'll make a lot more buying and selling 8 hours a day, 30 days, you know, a month, than you would, you know, otherwise, you know, working a job. And so it's just about being like intuitive, being proactive, and like, you know, girls even, because I know a lot of girls watch the show, like there's like so many things that you can go on AliExpress, and there's so many products that I could buy and then just relist on like Depot or Pod, you know what I mean, and literally make a crazy flip. Like you'd be so surprised how cheap your favorite items are on AliExpress.
Wasn't one of your biggest stores a makeup brand that you and Chris did?
So we did like a really fire makeup brand that crushed.
Is it still going?
It's still going, but we're having a little bit of issues. L'Oreal says that like we, there's something on ours, like infringed
that
on
that old mark. Chestnut. L'Oreal tapping in. I also saw on a TikTok, I think the other day, like Upwork.
Yep.
You can go on, like you can go on people's Instagrams pages, like a business say that's like struggling, like maybe the owner's like 40 or something, doesn't really understand Instagram. And you can go over on Upwork and get like someone in the Philippines to work like $6 or $7 an hour, which is good money for them. But you can also like, obviously you need to create a plan and like figure it out in a strategy, but you can, you can hire them.
But you brought up another interesting point, because let's say I don't know how to build a website. Let's say I have no skills at all, right?
Yeah.
But let's say I know somebody who wants a website. All right, well, you want a website, give me $2,000. I'll go take $1,000, go on Upwork, hire somebody to make a website, because the average person doesn't understand these things. They don't know Upwork. They don't know Fiverr. They don't know these type of places where like an older guy who's, let's say, 45, 50, who's trying to start an online business for his wife or something, will shell out $5,000 to get the website done, when in reality, you know, you can find somebody on Upwork for $500.
Yeah.
And so it's just a matter of like, you know, the art of the middleman is underestimated. Like being a middleman and injecting yourself into places and making money on the middle is, you know, where a lot of people make millions of dollars. And I probably made millions of dollars that I have made millions of dollars that way when you think about drop shipping and everything that I do. And so the middleman is something that, you know, if people just start thinking more like that, you'll see how much opportunity there is in the world. And there's a lot.
Yeah. I also, one of the key things for me when I started trying to drop ship and figure out the e-commerce world is, when I wouldn't get a sale, I'd get very disheartened and it'd pull me away from it entirely. That's the biggest issue. Just don't lose that drive.
And you know, it's something interesting you brought this up, because I always really appreciated this about you. But I don't know if people know, but you're actually like a hustler. Like you actually like put in the work. Like people don't, I don't know how much in the show you've talked about, you know?
Not at all.
But like his success specifically, like he engineered this. Like this wasn't like luck. Like this wasn't like, you know, in the beginning you think a lot of these people, it's like, oh shit, he got lucky. You know what I mean? Like you understand his story. I don't know how much, too much he wants to say about it, but like he hustled, like he manufactured his success, like his trajectory, how he blew up on Instagram, how the show was, you know, how he did everything. Like, you know, it was like he fucking did that. Like that wasn't just like, oh, shot in the dark. You know what I mean? One in a million, you know, pat on the back, which is what you assume, you know what I mean, with most people. Nah, this dude, I mean, kudos to you. You actually are so much more savvy than I think maybe people would realize. And like you, like people don't know this. You were drop shipping before and you were making good money, and he was hustling before he came up, and he still is hustling, but people don't, you know, I think it's important people know that Harry Jowsey is a hard fucking worker.
That's my guy right there. No, but I was explaining when when I first moved to LA, I had $3,000 in my account.
Yeah.
Like we decided to move to LA like 2 weeks before we did it. And I was struggling, bro. Like I didn't really have any money. Like at that time, I think a month before I moved, I was like, shit, I better try and do an OnlyFans. Did it for a month. It wasn't like it wasn't what I expected. I was like it was just a lot of work for not much reward because I didn't really have followers and it was very hard to keep people happy. Now I've got it figured out. We have a strategy, but yeah, when I moved here, I was like, okay, like what can I do? I had like drop shipping stores. I was trying to sell courses and then I got to a point where I would wake up at 6 a.m. I go to bed at 1 a.m. every single day before any of this shit to just try and build my bread and just try and like figure it out. And like had my friends come out and we'd just work on new businesses together. We'd sit in the office till like 2 or 3 a.m. just writing out business ideas and how we can blow shit up. And I think that's what I really enjoyed about struggling. That's what I really enjoyed is like how motivated I was. Right. Because I came to LA and I'm like, shit, I got no one. Like my mom and stuff's back home, but I don't like handouts. Like I don't like having a lifeline. Like I don't want that. That was the best thing that ever happened for me is I found that there's always like a diamond in that rough, which was so sick, which is kind of the same thing that happened to you. Is like your mom was struggling. Yeah. You hated that. You're like, fuck, I need to figure this shit out.
Yeah. People underestimate how much of success is actually just hard work and determination versus like people think, oh, well, I'm not smart or I don't know this or I don't know that. Like the difference between like somebody who is, you know, making $2,000, you know, a month versus somebody who's making $1 million a month, like just that person who's making $1 million a month just focused on his craft more and like worked harder. Like his IQ points aren't any substantially higher than the person making $2,000 a month. It's just, he applied himself better.
Yeah.
And so this is just like, you know, people, I used to look at school as an analogy too. Like the kid who gets straight Fs and the kids who get straight A's, like that kid who gets straight A's is not any smarter than the kid who gets straight Fs. Most of the time he really isn't. It's just that kid who gets straight A's maybe has like a better home foundation where it's like, yo, school, 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 learn, learn, learn. And so that's what a lot of people don't understand. Like you should be doing well at anything you do.
Yeah.
You should be trying your best, right? Yeah. Because it's like why would I go to school? Like me, people wouldn't know this, but I was like a skater, little weed smoking kid growing up, but I got like straight A's damn near. And it was like a really interesting dynamic because it's like I just wanted to like be that like rebel that like was really smart. So like for me, that was like my driving motive. But a lot of people like need to understand like being, you know, achieving your goals or just doing well in life is like purely based on like how focused and how hard you work. Eventually it's going to come together. So it might take some people 6 months. It might take some people 6 years. But a lot of people look at me and like, yo, Luca, you're 22. You're worth millions of dollars. Like, damn, this is crazy. But I'm telling him like, nah, I've been doing this since I was 14.
Yeah.
So in reality, I'm like 8 years in the game.
Yeah.
But I've been sitting in the Supreme line since I was 14, waiting for my box logo, flipping my box logo for a $300 profit, you know, same crazy hour. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I've been doing this. So like, you know, you look at me now and you look, oh, he's so young, he's so successful. But in reality, I just started a lot earlier than most.
Yeah.
People just need to get the clock ticking and eventually it will come. There's too many successful people out there. I think it's like 52 million millionaires in the world. Like something ridiculous.
That's great. That's
wild. What's $1 million?
Yeah, it's like if 52 million people can figure out, I could probably do
that. Yeah, yeah, that's crazy. That's fucking wild. I wanted to talk about your spirituality journey.
Yeah.
Like a little bit, you've had a bit of a rough patch and obviously we don't want to go into details with kind of everything that happened, but a lot of people don't really know this about you.
Yeah.
And I personally started to tap into my spiritual side because whether or not it's real or whether or not there's like a high being or any stuff like that, I feel better and I feel more like accomplished and I feel more tapped into myself. Because I remember when I first come to LA and the show was blowing up, I was drinking, I was partying, I was going out, I was getting fucked up, I was hooking up with whoever, doing my thing. I was really like disassociated with myself and kind of like not, like I pulled myself away from the person that I was trying to be. I'm like, right, yo, like I have these goals and I'm just going the opposite direction. So for you, what kind of started your big spiritual journey?
Yeah, so I had a situation during coronavirus where, you know, it wasn't the coronavirus, but I thought I was really sick. And I thought like it was such a shock to me because I thought like, okay, my life is like over. And so where it came to like, it's interesting how like something like health related can shift like in a matter of like seconds.
Yeah.
Whatever your problems were for the last year, month, week, whatever it may be, completely shift into a completely different dynamic. And so for me, I thought I got really sick and I thought I really fucked up and I thought, you know, this was like kind of it for me.
Yeah.
And in that process, you realize like, okay, like where my day revolved around making money and doing these type of things, you realize like in a situation like that, you know, no money can really help you, you know, like you really, the journey that you're on now is like, how do I make it and how do I get aligned with my energies to like, you know, kind of as weird as it sounds, just like become one with like the universe. Cause like, I'm just like a dead man walking. So that's where I'm going after this, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, hi. What's going on? We have another nice little juicy ad break for you, my little sausages. I know the podcast is amazing. We're enjoying it. But you know what we enjoy even better is a good meal, a nice nutritionist, nutritional meal from Daily Harvest. They just sent us some of these. They're very exciting. So there's like smoothies, there's meals. It's very clean packaging, cocoa, nib, and vanilla. Nice little smoothie. Very transparent with what's inside. There's chickpea, coconut, cocoa, pumpkin, maca, vanilla bean. There's so much good stuff. If you're a little bit like me and you don't like cooking food or don't really have time and patience to do all that stuff at home, I myself get these sent to me. I put them in the microwave, I whack them in, I eat, then I go on my little mission and do my thing. So shout out to Daily Harvest for hooking it up for today. They're committed for sustainability and just being all around good little possums. Daily Harvest never uses preservatives. Oh, no added sugar or artificial anything. What good little brownies. Including their recently launched almond milk, which is made of only almonds and a dash of sea salt. That's it. Very clean, very transparent, very good for you. Daily Harvest is also committed to minimizing their environmental impact. They're in the process of transitioning to 100% compostable, recyclable, plant-based, and renewable fiber packaging, which is good for you, good for the environment, and you're not being a piece of shit and littering and having single-use plastic, which is amazing. Anyway, get started today. Go to dailyharvest.com and enter promo code TAPIN to get $25 off your first box. That's promo code TAPIN for $25 off your first box at dailyharvest.com, 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 dailyharvest.com.
And in that process, you know, I kind of found like who I really was, right? Like my intentions like have always been pure. Like I've always wanted to change the world. When I was 15, I was interning at a place in New York called Asphalt Yacht Club, and I was like super broke, and they'd given me like 20 grand worth of clothes, and I had taken the subway back home and I was gonna flip these clothes, and by the time I got home, I'd given all the clothes to homeless people on the subway by the time there. And, you know, this is somebody who, like, I really didn't have shit. And this 20 grand worth of clothes would have, you know, really set me up as, like, a young gun. Mm. But it felt so good giving all those clothes to those people because they needed it way more than I did, you know.
Yeah.
I had a roof over my head. They didn't. And ever since that moment, I'd always known that my purpose in life was to help people and to change the world in whatever capacity it is. Like, and with this sickness, it only just really amplified that into like a very real scenario. So like I'm somebody who like used to compare myself to other people. And, you know, in that state, like I lost a lot of gratitude. And when I got really sick and I thought that, you know, my life was kind of over, I started to become, you know, start to think about how grateful I was for the things that I did have. And I started to really just find love and joy in me. And then also realizing that, look, like my purpose here, if I make it out of this unscathed, was, you know, helping people, right? Like if you and I are both going to die, Harry, right? And you and I are, you know, 100 years, 1,000 years, no matter what, like me and you will be dead men. Then the world can't revolve around us and our lives cannot revolve around me or you, because you and I are just walking dead people at the end of the day. It's just what it is.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, then you have to look about like, what's the purpose of life? Like, why am I here? And if it's not about you, then it has to be about everyone else, right? If it's the answer is not you, then it's here, right? So like my thing is like, I'm now like honing in on like, yo, what's my legacy gonna be? Because if I'm just gonna be gone, right? Whether it's, you know, back then, 6 months ago, or, you know, a year from now or 100 years from now, how are people gonna remember me and how am I gonna impact lives for hundreds or thousands of years to come? And so now that's like my focus. Like, okay, there obviously are goals that I need to hit. I need to make sure I'm good, my family's good before I can start worrying about the world. Like there's internal problems that still need to be solved. But, you know, God is my witness. Like now with this whole revelation, it's like what am I going to do to impact this place? And what am I going to do to create a legacy? Because at the end of the day, it's all I have. Mm. And so, you know, that situation with my health was the biggest blessing because it gave me a couple things. It gave me gratitude, right? Mm. Just gratitude just to be alive. Like I say a prayer every morning. I just thank God for just letting me touch and feel and breathe and see you and speak and hear. Like, Harry, nothing's stopping you and I from waking up tomorrow with a brain tumor.
Yeah.
Like nothing. Like I can eat, I can be a raw vegan, I can work out all day, but just like sometimes you just are dealt the cards that you are dealt. And, you know, with this perspective, it really just gives me just a lot more enjoyment for like nature. Like I go on hikes like 5 times a week and I just suck up the nature and I just like am so radiant with like the sun. It's just like weird, but like I'm so much more grateful for just the little things in life.
Wow.
And so many times we can be like, yo, we don't have this, I don't have this. And like, or he's doing better than me or she's doing better than me, but you're just not focused on how beautiful your life is. And like your journey is just as beautiful as anybody else's. And you should never wish like to be anyone else. Mm. Like I used to wish that I was, you know what I mean? That I was him or I was, you know what I mean? And like now, like there's nobody like Justin Bieber. I could switch lives with Justin Bieber and I wouldn't switch. Mm. You know what I mean? And a lot of young men would be like, yo, Justin Bieber is the GOAT. Like I would never do that. Like I'm so content with who I am. And I think that was really huge because what I thought was, I thought $1 million would make me happy, right? Mm. Growing up poor and struggling, you're like, fuck dude, $1 million is going to change everything. So once you make $1 million and you realize it doesn't do shit for you, you get really depressed. Yeah. And it's hard because I'm a guy who's my whole life depends on making money, right? Mm. I wake, breathe money. Like this is, I'm a businessman, right? Mm. And so when you realize money's not going to make you happy, you get really upset and you start to do things. And so in that process, like, I don't think I ever told you, but I tell you, try to hang myself when I found out. I told you that, right?
No.
Yeah. So like, it all comes crashing down really quick. Mm. And, you know, things I never think I try to kill myself. But, you know, when I found out that I thought I was sick, I tried to kill myself. I tried to hang myself like a pulley system, but we're really tall, so it's harder to do. So I didn't really pull it off the way that I wanted to. Imagine a 6'6 dude trying to kill himself, hang himself on a door hinge, just like 6'9. Doesn't really work too effectively, you know what I mean? If I really wanted to, my tippy toes would catch, but I ended up breaking the door, so that was different.
Holy shit, I'm sorry, bro.
Nah, but it's nothing to be sorry about. It's a blessing. Like I usually, like some people, my friends will tell me like, you don't want to talk about that. Like, dude, I totally want to talk about this. Like, this is really what happened. I really fucking put a rope to my neck. And I really said, and this is at the time where anybody who would have looked at my Instagram would have been like, I had young kids saying, oh, I want to be him. I look up to him. I love him so much, right? Or whatever. You know what I mean? My little business kids, you know what I mean? That fuck with me. And it's just like, it's just another analogy. It's like, man, you want to be me. You look up to me. You see what I'm showing you, right? Which is this Instagram social media facade. You want to be me, but little did you know, I tried to kill myself the night before.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like an interesting example for people to really realize. It's like, how can, you know, you can't look up to somebody and be like, I want to be him. You don't know, you know? Yeah. And I thought that's a really good. So with that whole transition, it was just like the best thing that's ever happened to me, long story short. And like now I'm just so in tune with just like making a positive change, making an impact. Like I'll buy myself a watch, but if I buy my mom a watch, it's just so much better of a feeling. Yeah. Like people don't understand that. And so now it's just like, I have a purpose. Mm. I believe in a higher power, wherein before I really didn't.
Yeah.
I mean, I believed in science, you know? So I believe maybe there was something out there because you can't really disprove that there's not something up there. But like, I wasn't really like, dude, like when I'm telling you I should have been a goner like 3 times in the last 12 months, like I think I'm a byproduct of like miracles. Mm. And so for me, it's like, I have no other choice to believe. And so like, I'm just so much more content with my life, with like loving myself, knowing that somebody or something out there loves me. You know what I mean? Whether a girl loves me or, you know, my friends love me, it doesn't really matter because it or she or he loves me. You know what I mean?
Mm.
And so now I'm just a lot more secure. Like I was so insecure before. I had so many like problems, and just like now it's just like, if I'm in a bad mood, if something goes wrong, I just remember gratitude and I remember my purpose.
Wow.
And I feel like everyone needs a purpose. I feel like that's a real key lack. Yeah. Things people lack in life is just purpose. Like, why do you get up every morning?
Every time I felt like I'm a little bit lost, I just have to think about my goals and my purpose and my reason of being. And I don't know if I explained this to you, but when I first started reality shows, it was because my big brother figure, I've said it like a million times on this podcast, but my big brother figure killed himself, ended up committing suicide. and I didn't know what to do. I was really lost. It was like before my exams at university and I wasn't doing well. So I was just on Facebook. My friend tagged me in this thing. Boom, went on a reality TV show, 100K. And then I was like, you know what? My purpose in this life is to make people happy, is to entertain people. That's why, like, if I ever make someone upset or if I'm like in a relationship where they're genuinely upset, it really fucking hurts me. Like I really self-reflect a lot of the time. Like if I do or say something that I know is like upset someone, I'll sit at home and I'll just ponder in my mind, because that's the furthest thing away from what I want to be and who I want to be. So like having that big like slap in the face and like, okay, well now I need to go out and make sure, like, let that message be heard and let people know that real shit happens, but we're like, I want to make you a little bit more happy. And I think like that shit like hits so close to home. I didn't know that happened.
Hi, you little hottie biscotties. What the fuck is going on? I hope you're amazing. I know you're amazing. You're enjoying the podcast. We're living life. But at the end of every day, we need to put our head to a mattress. And that's why we're coming in hot with another beautiful sponsor. We love fucking ourselves. We love getting fucked. We love getting dicked down. But you know what's better than getting dicked down? A good night's sleep and getting dicked down on a great, comfortable mattress. So I just want to shout out. A big shout out to my friends at Helix Sleep. I was legit just doing this quiz just before this ad break, and there's a sleep quiz. So you go on their website. It is helixsleep.com. You go do the sleep quiz. It's like, it takes 60 seconds, and they'll tell you the perfect mattress for you to have an enjoyable night's sleep. I turned Italian. If you go over there, you can get up to $200 off all mattresses orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. All you have to do is go to helixsleep.com/tap in. This legit, just try this. If you're bored, just even just try the quiz to see how you go. See if you need a rock hard, comfortable mattress or you need something soft to get those deep strokes in. I don't know. But there's 2 free pillows as well. So you can plump one under your bum, get those legs up, and just get absolutely pile driven by your boyfriend. Again, if you want to check out Helix Sleep, please go to helixsleep.com/tap in, up to $200 off free pillows. Get yourself fucking right. Get yourself feeling good. Get yourself sleeping right, because you deserve a good night's sleep. You deserve the cum, and you deserve, yeah, all of the above. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I mean, but like, again, like, it's all like a part of the journey. And yeah, like, you know, for me, sure. I told you, you know, in private, it's like, yo, like that shit is the best thing that ever happened to me. And if I would have, you know, died or something would have happened because of it, like, or my life would have been changed because of it, like, so be it.
Yeah.
Because like, I'm a better person because of it. And for so sure. That's all I can, you know, really say on that take. And, you know,
yeah, I think in the last episode, Charlie Rocket always says, he's like, Santa doesn't bring presents during the day. It's only in dark when you get the presents. So I was like, oh, that's, he always says it. That's very like meaningful. But let's pick it up a little bit. That was a bit heavy. What is your like spiritual, like, do you have like a spiritual routine? Do you wake up, you said you pray.
Yeah.
Do you have like crystals? What do you do? Like, what's your thing?
Yeah, so it's really interesting. So in the morning, I pray, just have my conversation with God. But at night, I have like this little candle ritual. Mm. And it's something about the candles, like with the warmth, that's just like a very strange like sensation. And a lot of people don't realize, but like you can get really like high. I think high is like the right word, but like off your breaths and like off aromas if you've done right. And so like I have like this little pillow that I sit on. Big pillow that I sit on, and I like set up like my little candle ritual, and it just like feels so good. It's like, and so like if there's anything like that I stick to, it's, you know, the prayer in the morning and then like my prayer little ritual at night where I set up the candles, and like it gives, I can tell you, like, and this is somebody who's done, you know, probably every drug in the book just because of like experimentational purposes throughout my life, dude, there's been very few feelings that I felt than like, you know, doing deep breaths, like, you know, with a candle in my hand, just pitch black dark with like little candles scattered around the room. Just really euphoric feeling. And it's interesting what you can tap into without any, you know, what's in here, you know, waiting to be discovered if you're willing to put in the time and energy to discover it. And so I like, I, you know, when I have my own little set, like, I know I meditate and then I pray. So it's like a little ritual thing I got going. What about you? What's your...
Honestly, bro, like I've been really tapping into the grateful stuff, because, you know, it's really easy to get caught up in this like influencer scene, like people telling you got this or that wrong with you, you're a piece of shit, all this stuff like that.
Bullshit.
So I usually, like, I used to get in my own head a little bit about it, but and I'd always look at other influencers like, oh, he just got this new car. Like, I call my manager, I'm like, he's like, you could get like 10 of those cars, like, they're all leased, just relax, like, it's fine, you don't need to. And I was comparing myself, and now, like, the past like month, I've really taken a step back. I've really stopped going out. I've been really sitting in my own head, being grateful, being like thinking about what's going on. Like, me and Zach have all our goals like written on a whiteboard in the kitchen, so we see it every day. But honestly, like, whenever I'm feeling down, I write 5 things that I'm grateful for, like five things, and I'll either text it to my best friend or I'll text it to whoever, but I'll let it be heard. Like, I'll speak it. But yeah, I always,
you should do a grateful journal for merch.
I saw this insane video where this guy, he said, I'm gonna say I love you to myself every single day for a year. Got it on video. I don't know if we can find it somewhere, but this guy literally starts hating himself, and you just watch his progression. He goes, I love you. And then towards the end, he's like skipping. He's like, I love it. Like, you could see his full energy change. And it's actually crazy what just thinking differently will do. Like,
yeah.
Whenever I'm sad, whenever I'm that, like, that's the winning streak motto. Like, whenever I'm sad, I like think about, like, fuck, that shit doesn't really matter. Like, people have shit way worse. Like, I'm beautiful. We're in the sun. Especially getting outside and like having sunshine and feeling that energy and the buzz from that's the amazing. Sun changes everything.
You know, you brought something up like a minute ago where it's just like, you know, you see the influencer and their cars and all this stuff. And it's like interesting because I had this huge thing of like success, right? And then like I kind of had an epiphany, and I think it's like important to share a little bit. But like when I started like comparing like success and like, you know, a lot of people I feel like have the wrong definition of success.
Yeah.
And so it's like, if you see me in a Ferrari riding down the street, you're going to look at me and look at that guy and be like, oh, whoa, he's successful.
Yeah.
Right. Or if you see me with like a bust down watch on, or, you know, nice jewelry on, you're going to be like, oh, whoa, he's successful. Right. And in reality, you know, for that bust down watch, I could put a gun to your face, you know, take that watch off your wrist and, you know, wear it on me. And now when people see me with that bust down watch on, they're going to look at me and be like, oh, he's successful. Or I could, you know, pull off a credit card scam, you know, scam a bunch of people, go take that money, buy a Ferrari, and now drive down the street, and people will be looking at me and be like, oh, that guy's successful. And so it's just really interesting because a lot of people correlate success with what people have, but they don't know how they got it. And so I think people need to reimagine their idea of success and start looking at success like, how happy is somebody? What's their reputation like? How nice are they? How do they treat people? Because to me, that defines success. Because stuff cannot define success, because I could, you know, be, you know, a Polish prince, and I could be born into billions of dollars and now I'm the richest guy in town, but I'm not successful. You know, like, what did he do to get all that? He didn't do anything, but he's got all the money. So now you're looking at him like successful. Now everybody's got their jaws dropped, you know, on their knees, looking at this guy praising him. But it's like, you don't know what he's really done or what he hasn't done. Right. People need to start looking at people's success. Like, how happy are they really? Like, if I'm in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and I see the ski instructor, and this guy looks like he's fucking having a blast. And he's telling me when I'm talking to him, he's like, dude, I wouldn't pick to do anything else in the world. He's just as successful as any billionaire that I know. You know, as any centi-millionaire, a millionaire that I know, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of people have that, like, really confused where it's like, oh, because he's like, nah, like, there's a lot of bad people doing bad things that have all this nice stuff, and you're giving them the praise and the credit for being successful when in reality they're evil people.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I just really encourage people moving forward to not look, and because, you know, it's hard, because for me, as somebody who's like genuinely insecure, I'll just be transparent. Like, I want people to think that I'm successful, but I don't want to be forced into buying, you know, nice cars and nice watches and playing this rat race, because it's a fucking rat race. And who am I competing with? Scammers, drug dealers, and, you know, whatever it is. Okay, granted, there are people who are doing it the right way, making their money, you know what I mean, doing their things, but we're all in the same pool. You know, we all have the same Ferrari, whether you're, you know, a drug dealer or you're a, you know, a stock market guy.
Yeah.
And so it's just really interesting. It's like it drives down a lot of the value of that stuff for me. And as of the last couple months, like, you know me, I used to wear a watch every day.
Yeah, you had the bust down, you had a Richard Mille.
Everything, but now I don't wear anything.
Really?
I never wore, because you want to know why?
Why?
Like, I told you I got the gun pulled in my face. And
yeah.
So I was leaving. I was walking out of Cookies and Kicks, which is the sneaker store.
One of his stores?
Yeah. And so I got a gun pulled in my face.
Yeah.
And he was like, yo, give me everything. I was like, I didn't have a watch on, but I was just thinking, like, whoa, imagine if I would have had a watch on and this guy would have gotten my watch.
Yeah.
Like, what? Like, you know what I mean? And now he would probably rock it around and everybody yeah. think he was on. Like, I'm not doing this for that. You know what yeah. I mean? Like, this is not what I'm being successful for. I'm being successful to, you know, help my mom, to help my brother, to mm-hmm. help my family, to, you know, open a school somewhere where people can learn. And, you know, when they're successful, they're going to say, I learned because Luca opened his school and I'm here, you know what I mean? And mm-hmm. my family, and just that net impact, you yeah. know? You know, that's why I like things like this podcast, and I commend you for doing it, because it's like, yo, like, you don't know who's listening to this right now, and you don't know who this impacts and who that person impacts, and just yeah. the ripple effects is in the millions.
Yeah.
You know? And so it's just like switching your perspective to, like, yo, like, don't the flashy cars, all that shit.
It ain't
like
shit.
You got these, you know what I mean? You got some of, yeah. you know.
Well, that's the thing, like, with even like with Tana, she's done like $3 million to $1 million a month on OnlyFans, right? She has like businesses. She is very successful in her own sense. She doesn't even own a car. She doesn't own a car. The only like flashy watches and shit she got is from gifts. Like, oh, it's, wow. it's
that's
crazy
impressive.
Smart.
I didn't know that.
I've never seen someone with so much spend so little. Like, I was even talking to my other friends who are like, what does she buy? Like, they're asking me, like, what does she spend money on? I'm like, actually don't think she doesn't spend much. She just has like a really sophisticated team. Like, her assistant has an assistant. really? How crazy is that? And she has that's like a really big house. She just said, yeah, but it's, you know, all this stuff costs. But I'm like, it's peanuts. Like, she really doesn't spend much money. She's very like switched on and very savvy with how she spends money. Like, when we went on a PJ to Miami, it was free. So $50,000 jet.
How'd free. She get it for free? I want a PJ for free.
Because it's fucking Tana.
Right.
She gets what she wants, but it's genuinely crazy. And even my friends who are billionaires, the only watch I've seen him wear is a Hublot.
Right.
And he barely wears it. Like, I bought a Hublot, and then I stopped wearing it. I bought a cardio bracelet. I stopped wearing it. I'm like, this shit really sucks.
Right.
Like, it you're walking around scared you're going to bang on something. Like, I bought off-white shoes the other day. I wore them in. They're dirty already. And I was like, fuck. Like,
bullshit.
I can't wear designer clothes. Right. Like, I buy like a $600 shirt. I shrink it in the wash. It's right. so whack. And it just feels like such a waste. But that was also my thing, is I hate buying that shit for me, because I know it doesn't really make me like happy. Right. But when I get it for someone else, or when, like, the other day, the coolest thing that I ever did was, I was in my group chat with my day ones, Jacob and Chris, mm-hmm. Chris John, and I was bored, and I'm like, hey, Chris, check your PayPal. And I just sent him a stack of money. And then Jacob was like, holy shit, bro, that's really nice. I was like, Jacob, check your PayPal. I just sent you a stack of money. And he sent me a video of him crying. He's like, that is the nicest thing that anyone's ever done to me. He's like, I don't know. He's like, I'm just so thankful. I'm like, bro, like, I just said to him, I wish it could be more. Like, right. I wish I could give you more, because that, for me, that is the best thing. And that's why I also like loved having a girlfriend and being in love, because every single day I could wake up and I'd be like, what can I do for you to make your life better? Like, how can we start a business? How can I make you the happiest person on earth? What can I do to make you, like, just make you smile? And I feel like that is the best type of human, like being that yeah. type of human where you get genuinely excited and fulfilled by making other people happy. Like, when I did that, I was like, shit, man, like, none of this shit doesn't matter. And by the time this comes out, I'm buying my manager a Rolex. I've been looking at it for a while. I was looking at getting myself one. I'm like, oh yeah, this was like, you know, this is like a $50,000 watch. It's really nice. And I'm like, oh, but I could get 5 watches for my friends.
Right.
Like, the boxing match is coming up, the bag on that. I'm like, sweet. Like, I'm going to fly all my friends to Italy, and we're going to have a yacht for a week. Like, I would put 100, like, I'll right. put 10% of the bag
right.
into that, to do that for a week and just make sure that everyone has a good time off my success. Because what I've noticed is, like, it's so much more fun having, like, all these people with you and, like, hyped and everyone on their own journeys, but, like, spoiling them for, like, putting up with your shit and, like, being your friend and being around you. Because it's very rare to have, like, good people in this city as well. Like, I've stumbled a lot into people who have, like, been around me when the show aired compared right. to now. And I was kind of like, okay, cool. Like, I understand, like, that their intentions weren't pure. They got what they wanted. They disappeared. But, yeah, you got a quite good friend group here, yeah?
Yeah, I do. And you know, but you're right. This city's really, you know,
it's a beautiful city.
It's a beautiful city, but you know, more and more as like I've made that transitional journey, like just through like awareness, I'm starting to see what everybody's talking about. Like things that, you know, you and I have talked about certain situations, but things that I could have tolerated a year ago or a year and a half ago where I could sit there and play like monkey, you know what I mean? And be like, laugh when it's not funny, you know what I mean? And shit like that, like where it's like just to like be and build the relationship. I can't tolerate that anymore. I can't do that.
Yeah.
I'm just not doing it. So I'm doing that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, one thing that's interesting too is I used to be like a recluse. I used to sit in my house all day and just like computer, house, you know what I mean? Whatever it is.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm so, I love that you said this Italy with the, because that's like, that's literally what I make money for now. I make money for like going to a fucking hotel with my boys, you know what I mean? Renting a boat, not blinking at the boat, you know, like.
That's the thing.
That's the point. That's why so I do exciting. This. You know what I mean? Anything else is bullshit.
Like I've been closing in on 100 days sober. How crazy is that?
That's sick.
Closing in
that's on, mad impressive.
Closing in on the 100 days sober. Impressive. And I'm just thinking about how much fun it's gonna be when I have my boys. We're in Italy, we're in Mexico, and I'm just fucking taking care of everyone, and we're just getting fucked up and having a really good time. Like that's what I'm thinking about. Like I got a call on the weekend where my friends like, come out, we're going to this big DJ's birthday, we're going to this big DJ party, like at his house, it's gonna be crazy. And I was like, nah, like I really, that really isn't it. Like it's not
that shit
it.
Is bullshit, bro.
It's so boring. That but shit is bullshit. Do you know Von Dutch, the company?
Yeah.
You know how they recently started popping up again?
Yeah, I've noticed that.
This guy.
That was you?
Yeah.
This guy's a brand. So all the brands he's wearing is like brands that he has like a percentage in.
It's
actually bizarre because I remember seeing it on like TikTok and shit starting to blow up. I'm like, how the fuck is this brand getting back?
I was like, Von Dutch, that's wild.
Yeah. So Luca and his business partner were the brands behind it, and they made it cool again, which was really fucking crazy. Now they're doing it with this other brand, Heroes Motors.
Yeah, so that's like dope. So like occasionally I'll work with brands where like I see huge potential, where it's like, yo, you either were popping in the past or you're popping now, and like add my like secret recipe to it, which I feel like I know, you know, how to do. And so Von Dutch is probably the most impressive, because that's like a company, you know, without saying too much, that wasn't doing really anything, you know what I mean, to now being like, you know, an 8-9 figure, I mean, really a 9-figure business, you know?
Wow.
So it's just like, it's really interesting to see. And, you know, it's kind of opened my eyes, because I've been like a product type of guy where it's like, I'll sell this water bottle or I'll sell this phone, you know what I mean? But now like clothes are really interesting to me, because like I always knew statistically that clothes was the biggest e-commerce sell, you know, in the world. But, you know, everyone has a clothing brand, and like clothing brand seems so saturated. But if you can pull them off right and you can hit that sweet spot, there's no more money to be made than anywhere else other than clothes.
And you're doing some shit with Jesse at the moment?
Yeah.
Jesse's a guy. He's such a sweet dude.
Yeah. So, you know, I was really surprised actually about how smart he was.
Really?
And I told him this. Yeah. I didn't know how bright he was, and it makes sense now.
He got it. He figured it out. Yeah,
it makes sense now that like I'm in like the back end, like, you know, in the background with these guys, to see why Nelk is so successful. And I tweeted this like 6 months ago, but I was like, in terms of like influencers, I would say Nelk is like top five most successful all time in terms of like what they do. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like the numbers they pull in with like their fan base and how cult it is, like. They can really shut down a city if they want to. You know what I mean? Not a lot of people can do that. There's very few people in this world that can do that.
Yeah.
And so just like being able to see that. And then when I met Jesse, I was like, ah, like I understand why you're making so much bread. Because it's like you're smart as shit and like you understand it. And he also, you know, it's a lot. You know, people need to surround themselves with people that, you know, are strong where they lack. And he knows where he lacks, and he surrounds himself with people that are strong where he lacks. And so his team, his little circle, it's like very like ragtag, but it's like small, but they're all like super bright in their fields, and the chemistry is there. And so just being, you know, hanging out with them, and he's just been so sick, because it's just like I go there probably like 4 or 5 times a week.
Wow.
Like,
oh, like, you're tapped in.
Yeah, to their warehouse. I just like sit and just, you know, I do my own shit. You know, if they need any help doing with what they're doing, I try to contribute where I can. And it's just really interesting to see just like what's what's being done there, you know, and like what it takes to really, because, you know, I've always been about a guy, you know, my primary business model for the longest was monetizing influence. Like, how do I take the guy with a million followers and make him $1 million? I never really understood the long form approach. I was always like pump and dump, like, let's make money month, 2 months, 6 months, whatever. Like, they're building something that.
Just watch out for the table. No, you're good.
He's excited.
He's very long form. Like, he's very thinking, like, how am I going to build this into a $1 billion business, which they have the full potential to do. You know what I mean? With media companies. And like, so if you really like sat there and saw everything that they're doing, it's really incredible.
How did you meet Jesse?
I met Jesse through his like right hand, like one of his best friends, Tori.
Yeah.
And so Tori is just one of those like really business savvy, smart individuals. And him and I were just, you know, I think he owns like a couple big Instagram pages. And I'm in the process of like, you know, acquiring a lot of these pages. I see value in, you know, a lot of these meme pages and stuff like that. And so I've been buying those up. And with that, I met him, and, you know, one thing led to the next. You know, he's just one of those guys. It's just like, yo, you're smart, like, integrate smart people. Some people like to be like really standoffish with, like, you know, the people that they know, and like try to like, it's called gatekeeping, and like, yo, like, just no energy. Like, and when you don't emit that energy, just like the universe rewards you. And so I met them through Tori, and then, you know, ever since then, it's just been like, it's like I've known these guys for years. Like,
wow,
I fucking, you know what I mean? It's a great time.
That's it. And are you working with them, or just being a helping hand?
So we have like projects that we're formulating. So like, we have a couple things that, you know, are in the pipeline. They're going to be really sick.
Because they don't do any Facebook ads, do they? I've never seen them.
No, they don't do anything like that. So that's a different. So I'm trying to come to them, and like, the ideas that I have are separate from what they're already doing.
Okay.
But the conversations have already been had, where like, I think there's certain verticals, you know, because they have the fitness and the supplements and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's
and
crazy.
Those are verticals where it's like, you guys have the merch on lock. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the drops, the structure, like, that stuff is, you've got that honed in. But I think where there's a lot of room for, at least in their existing models, for growth, I think that fitness, I think they could compete with Gymshark. I really do.
Really?
I do, because I'm going to get you a pack. I'm going to send you a pack. Brother, fitness shit is like top of the line.
It's
like,
really?
Nike level shit. I couldn't believe it, because fitness is hard to pull off. You know what I mean? It's like, it's got to have the right spandex. It's got to feel good. You know what I mean? I see like grandiose vision. I could see Full Send Fitness competing with companies like Gymshark.
It's such a good branding name. It's such a good name.
Such a good name.
And you could pull it off. And I think the supplements as well.
Yeah.
There's a vertical there. So, I mean, that's at least with their existing businesses. But I think there's a lot of things that they're, you know, they're about horizontally scaling. So they have such a big platform that anything they touch is like instantly $1 million, you know, $1 million a month business, whatever it is. So I think there's a lot of low hanging fruit within that spectrum that they can like, you know, plug in and do. And obviously, you know, Jesse and I, or Jesse came up with this brilliant idea of just, you know, he wants to start like building Nelk into, you know, like a media company, where it's like, you're not the only, you know, Nelk is not the only show, you know, that's being streamed through the process. You know what I mean? And so he's starting a show called Cash Heavy, where he follows young entrepreneurs for a week. And so he was, you know, kind enough to like say that I could have some involvement there, like executive produce it with him. And so, you know, these are interesting like passion projects that are dope, because like there's kids that I know that are 20 years old making $3-4 million a month profit off of like crypto fucking pooling, staking their fucking Bitcoin. Like, it's just insane. Or their Ethereum. And so just like that type of stuff is dope. And so like he, you know, just one of those, like, what's cool with them, it's like, if he has an idea, it's just done. You know what I mean? It's just like, all right, boom, 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 boom.
He gets it done.
He just has the resources and the luxury to do it, because, you know what I mean? They're so successful. And so it's just really beautiful to see, and just beautiful to be a part of and just contribute. But like, more so than any of that stuff, like, when I tell you, like, I could never make a single dollar with any of them.
Yeah.
And dude, I would fucking be there 4 or 5 times a week just because of how fun and how much of a good environment. I just feel productive when I'm there. Like, even for myself, like, now I'd rather go work there than work in my house.
Yeah.
Cause I just like, dudes are making hundreds of millions of dollars. Like, what the fuck?
I feel like, yeah, environment's definitely like a big thing. When every time that I've been at home and tried to work, I just like fall asleep or do nothing. But when I'm out or at a cafe or in an environment where there's other people working and I can bounce off their energy, that's when I'm locked in and like on. Are you the same?
Yeah, same.
You have to be.
And it's just, but for me, like, dude, I've never, you know, usually I'm in the room and it's a lot of like, oh, I need Luca's help or like, you know what I mean? Or something like that. Like when with them is like, it's like, they're the, like, dude, what the fuck? Like, dude, you know how much bread these guys are fucking? Like, it's dude, nuts. These guys are like fucking, dude, like, holy crap. Like, you know what I mean? I'm like, dog, I need to lock in. You know what I mean? Like, It's just like, there's no room for, I want my own fucking 10,000 square foot fucking fantasy factory. Like, why don't I have one in multiple states? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
it's just nuts.
It's the shit that I want. And it's like, I love just being in an environment where I feel like it's just, it's like, it's symbiotic. Like, it's not just like so one-sided. I feel like a lot of my relationships, a lot of people accuse me of being a bad friend as of recent, but it's like, dude, I'm tired of one-sided relationships.
For sure.
I can't do it anymore. I can't, like, people have to be very cautious of energy vampires. People that will just suck your fucking energy right out of you. Like, be really cautious. Cause like that to me, I feel like up until this point, maybe at least the last 6 months, I've surrounded myself with energy vampires, people who demanded stuff of me, but gave me nothing in return.
Wow.
And I'm tired of that. Like, I only want to be around people where it's like, dude, it's mutually beneficial, spiritually, emotionally, financially. It's just like, there's a communion of like greatness here. Like, if I want to be great, I can't be around people who don't want to be great.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now it's like every time I'm around people, it's like you want to be great and you're working towards it every day. You're not just like fantasizing, I want to be great. You know what I mean? I want to like, no, you're like actually chasing your fucking actionable dreams, and it's like holding me accountable. Because if your sphere of influence is everything, Harry, right? Like if I'm around a bunch of fucking losers, I'm subsequently going to become a fucking loser. Mm-hmm. If I'm around a bunch of fucking kids making $100 million a fucking year, I'm going to eventually start making $100 million a year. And people underestimate their sphere of influence because it is so important. Mm. It's like, it's everything. And your sphere of influence supersedes just who you hang around, but it also includes the music you listen to, right?
Yeah.
I'll listen to a rap song, right? Let's say like an NBA Youngboy song, and I'll want to go kill somebody. I'm not a killer. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's my sphere of influence is what I'm ingesting, right? But if I listen to some classical music, I want to take over the world. Right. Yeah. It's another example. If I go eat a cheeseburger, I'm feeling lethargic. I'm like fucking, I'm like kind of out of it. I'm not the same. But if I go eat, you know, a salad, you know, for the whole day, you know, juice, I'm feeling like locked. I'm feeling like sharp. Right. And so your sphere of influence is not only just the people you hang around. It's the music you listen to. It's the shit that people that you follow and the things that you read and you're watching on social media.
Wow.
It's the food that you eat. You know, and all of these things contribute into who you are as a person. You know, if I'm around fucking, you know, drug addicts, I'm going to be a drug addict. If I'm around people who want to party all day, I'm going to party all day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If I'm around people who aren't doing shit, then I'm just not going to do shit.
Yeah.
And I think you really, really realize this because I've noticed you've made some drastic changes, like where it's like, yo, you're not hanging around people who go to parties all day anymore. You know what I mean? Because it's like, you know that if you do, well, then that's what you're going to do. Yeah. And so just honing in on those little things in your life, like, can make all the difference for your future. Mm. And knowing that, like, okay, my sphere of influence and what I'm ingesting and what I'm taking in from every aspect of my life is dictating who I am as a person.
Mm.
And so for me, just like little things like that, just going to that office every day, it's my sphere of influence. It's like, there's nobody there that I don't respect and that I don't appreciate as a human or as a businessman. You know what I mean? And so it's just like imperative, you know, from every aspect of your life. And I think this is one of the most underestimated things that people just lack. It's just like, and I think the music is really the kicker too. The music is like the one where I think really people just really let them get to them. Because if you listen to fucking, I'm fucking the bitches all day, I'm telling you, it's going to get you.
No, that's what happened. I was started listening to rap music heavy, and I started saying bitches to my friend. Yeah. I was like, oh, this, like, I was like, let's get some bitches. I'm like, I'm like, yo, I'm so white. so vanilla. Right. And like, I'm saying, bitches, like, no, let's get some respectable young women over, please.
Right. It's key. And you know, when I was younger, I used to hang out with the hood kids. Like, I was always like, I was a hood kid, but so you would see, like, there's going to be days where things surface up about me. It's like when I'm 12 years old, and it's like, dude, that kid is talking like literally like a little gangster. You know what I mean? But just because who I was around, that was my sphere of influences at the time growing up. We were fucking, that was graffitiing, you know, wreaking havoc, just being little gangsters was what I was doing, you know? So like, and then, but then if I'm hanging around fucking, you know, going to college and, you know, then my whole vocabulary changes, my whole, you know, how I talk and how, who I am. And like you said, bitches, like, like, isn't that so second nature, you know? But it's like, nah, it's not all right. It's like women, you know what I mean? Like, fucking, what are we doing, Colin? You know what I mean? It's like, so like, it's not who we are, but it's like, I'm just manipulated into thinking and that exactly. I'm so sorry.
No,
I'm
fucking
on my mic.
You know what I mean? Bit clout. You hate it.
I love it, actually. I love it.
You
so,
love it now?
So me and, no, I love it. So I'll tell you why. Me and Jesse actually wanted to create our own. We're going to create Creator Coin. So this is one of this is the thing we were working on it for like a week. But these developers, maybe this podcast will get me some fucking real good developer, because BitCloud is an amazing concept.
Yeah. It's on a blockchain.
Yeah. You know, there's just a couple little key features that if they changed would make it 10 times better. The only thing that I don't like about BitCloud now, and the only reason why I haven't put hundreds of thousands of dollars into it, is because I can't pull my money out.
Yeah.
So that's the scary part. So I pushed my Netscoin. Remember, I pushed my Netscoin heavy. Yeah. And then I realized, I was like, bro, $80,000 worth of fucking my followers' money went into Netscoin. And when they went to sell it, they couldn't transfer it out of Bitcoin into back to Bitcoin. So I was like, fuck. I just literally fucking took your 80 G's, stuck it here. And so I'm like, now, the BitCloud guys are going to let you pull the money out soon. They're releasing the feature. But until then is before I'm going all in. But the concept of putting money on a market cap on a guy's social influence is the most genius idea since fucking crack cocaine.
It was on Black Mirror. Yeah. You remember watching the Black Mirror thing where they'd have their phones and have like the little thing above them? Like, oh, you can't get this house because you're under what, like five stars or some shit?
Yeah.
As soon as I saw that, I was like, no way. Like, Black Mirror is predicting so much shit.
No, literally. Yeah. But this BitCloud stuff is super interesting because let's say you're going to fight, right? You're going to have your fight in whatever. Say he fights in June. Let's say he knocks old boy out, right? His coin's going crazy. You know what I mean? So like, this is dope. You know what I mean? Or I could be a creator like Mr. Beast, for example. Mm. You know, if Mr. Beast coins $1 billion, you know he's putting all that money back into the fucking community, right? You're just funding him being able to do more awesome things. So any day of the week, am I going to buy a Mr. Beast coin? Because I know that's going to just benefiting the universe. You know what I mean? And to have him do more cool shit, eventually he'll do another, you know, Mr. Beast announces he has 500 restaurants across the country. His coin skyrockets. Oh, but maybe Harry got a DUI, and I know this, so I'm short his coins, and now his coin goes down. You know what I mean? So like, it's just it's so dope to put a market cap on social influence.
But
and like,
here's my butt. Cancel culture is gonna fuck this.
Oh, they'll fuck with it for sure.
No, it's gonna,
or maybe it'll beat cancel culture.
Well, I feel like at this point, when people's finances are involved, people are gonna start micromanaging and like checking every single thing on a person. Like, people are gonna be like, we thought we were under the scope now. But I'll probably, like, I'm assuming, like, as a, you know, like a probably like D-grade celebrity going out, if I get paparazzi with the wrong person who may have made a racist tweet 3 years ago, people will be like, boom, post that, blow it up. His coin dips, because people will do that to try and get an edge, make money.
I never thought about that as one of the cons, and that's completely true.
Yeah.
And I guess that's just what you expose yourself to if you decide to, like, you know, promote your coin and, like, this is who you are. You know what I mean? I think this is just one of the things that you just endure. But I think it's interesting because it's like, if I knew Harry Jowsey before Netflix, I would have bought Harry Jowsey coin. I'd be a fucking millionaire.
Dude, right?
I know who all the comedians are that are going to pop.
Exactly. Yeah. Like who's that kid, the Balin, the new one? He's like the new Danny Duncan, the new Nelk boy, but this kid's hilarious. Like Balin something. I knew about this kid like 3 years ago. He had 10K subs. This kid's like literally the next Danny Duncan. You know what I mean?
Wow.
So it's like, I would have bought that kid's coin. Like, I'm so right. You know, I knew Golden. You know what I mean? Golden, when he had 1,000 fucking followers. I would have bought Golden coin. I'd be rich right now.
I've dipped like five figures into this shit, so I'm like waiting for it to come out.
You just want it, so the second they allow you to pull your Bitcoin out, you're rich.
I know all the costs of the second season of Tour to Handle. I may as well just start fucking.
But I don't know if you know, but as of this morning, everyone's coin's like 99% off.
Why?
Yeah, go on your BitCloud.
I don't want to check it.
Dude, my coin was like $500. Now it's like $3. They did something with the algorithm where they cut the coin's price drastically, which I think like is kind of scammy.
But now everybody has more. Does everybody have more coins?
I don't think anybody has more coins, which is what you would think it should happen. But you guys should look into that, because as of right now, if you go on BitCloud, Elon Musk is going for like $400, where he was going for 90,000.
Oh, let's buy some Elons, bro.
That's the one I'm buying. You know?
But I heard they're getting sued like fucking crazy because they're using people's name and likeness.
So exactly.
But it's a blockchain.
So that's what we want to do with Creator Coin. We wanted to avoid. There's a lot. There's like five really big red flags with what they're doing. And if I can come in, and any of you great crypto developers, Harry, want to be on board on Creator Coin? We got some other big influencers, you know, involved. Like, there's a way to really make this better, you know, where it's like, I can't secure Harry Jowsey's username without ID proof that I'm like Harry Jowsey. You know what I mean? It's like a no brainer. Like, I shouldn't be able to claim usernames without like guaranteeing, especially because whoever creates the coin gets a 10% residual. So it's like, bro, if you're making fucking money on my likeness, that's not okay. You know what I mean? So they fucked up on the key part.
Yeah, I didn't get my handle. Right. I'm Harrison Jowsey.
That's bullshit.
So some dude's making fucking cake on my name.
Cake on your name.
Yeah, I can't get verified either because I'm not verified on Twitter.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a joke.
Because apparently they won't verify people for like the last year or something. And
why don't they verify on Twitter?
I don't know.
I want to get verified on Twitter. That's the flex.
That shit's going crazy. Anything you need to plug? Anything you want to plug?
Anything that I want to plug?
Luka Nets, nah, Nets Commerce,
nah,
Nets
nah,
Trades.
Just I hope everybody has a great day, and you know, I want you guys to strive to be better. I want you guys to believe in yourself. Know that you can do anything that you put your mind to, and know that you are loved, whether you know it or not. And I want you guys to be grateful if you're feeling a little down today. And so. That's all I want to plug into.
Wow, that's my guy right there. Let's fucking go. Thank you so much for watching, listening, and enjoying this episode. If you did enjoy it, please leave it 5 stars or drop a comment. It is Luka Nets everywhere. Please send him some love. He's a great guy. And I hope you got some...
L-U-K or C?
L-U-C-A.
Yeah.
N-E-T-Z.
I hope you got some golden nuggets out of this. Bit more of a serious one, but I enjoyed it. I hope you guys enjoyed it. So love you the most. Thank you so much for tapping in, and I'll see you next week.